You've been asking for it for a long time. Where's Tolbert? Where's Tolbert? Where's Tolbert? We're not Siamese twins. I don't know where he is. He's his own person. I speculated to all of you that he was in Vegas probably. He was in Vegas, actually, and I don't know what's going on. So what's going on and how are you? And you're looking good. And before we get to anything, background is tremendous. The Tolbert mask is – that's a legend. The Michael Myers mask, right?
So the mask behind me, everybody knows Michael Myers mask. And over my shoulder to my left is the backyard. So there's a walkway back there, and we have our garbage cans back there. So I just put up that mask yesterday. I was like, what am I going to do with this mask? Let me just stick it in there. I'll stick my my Niner helmet in there and my little shitty Arizona helmet in there. That's hopefully I'm getting a regular size Arizona helmet. As bad as they are, they're still my squad. And then a bunch of books that I went to a book fair and got, just like throw them up there.
So you look smart like everybody else?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's got books.
I like to look learned. So hopefully it works. But anyway, Haley's taking the trash out last night, and she puts it in a receptacle, and then she walks back, and out of the corner of her eye, she got the Michael Myers mask, and she said, "That scared the hell out of me."
Well, what's great is I wonder if you ever, because you're famous for your walks, and you've been doing all the promos, and the Tom Tolbert show's coming up. We're going to get into that in a second. You ever walk around that neighborhood with that mask on, like just for the heck of it?
I did. I actually put the mask on. And I walked with it during COVID. I come to find out that's not the type of mask they were asking for.
Mask.
Everybody else wearing regular masks, like T90s or whatever the hell those things are. And I just said, well, it's a mask. I should be good. And people were like, bro, that's not it. That's not the mask
that would have been looking amazing. For. Everybody like, oh, you got to wear a mask to come in this store. It's like, okay, there's my mask. You're like, no.
The funny part about it, though, the Michael Myers mask did as good a job as the regular masks in not transmitting COVID, come to figure. Who knew at the time that you could wear just a stupid mask and you're all going to be good anyway?
Amazing. So,
anywho.
All right, so here's how it went down. You and I got fired on the same day, and I knew that when I heard – so it was about 5-2, and I thought, well, if Tolbert got fired in the morning – there's no friggin' way that I'm surviving this thing. So I was just waiting, and like all day long, I'm waiting on the show. I'm doing the show, and I'm thinking, when are they going to break it to me? Like, what's the deal here? So of course, at about 1:59, we're going to do like a 1 minute segment because we're running late, like we always were. And at 1:59, Holler pops his head in the studio and he goes, "Hey, Larry wants to see you." And I went, "Oh, here it comes." And then, you know, they did their song and dance and were trying to shake my hand and go, "It's not you, it's us." And I'm like, "I know it's you. So just leave me alone and tell whatever." So I leave and then talk to you a couple of days later. I'm like, "I heard you just got fired." And anyway, so long story short, all that stuff happened. Everybody seems to be going out on YouTube and doing all these things. And I've had a ball with it. And you're starting up on Monday. So what's going on? What are you doing?
Well, I knew something was going on that day when Holler's hair looked halfway decent. He wasn't wearing a hat, so I go, "Okay, we're probably screwed." Yeah, so
what's going on here?
I go, "God, he's wearing a collared shirt too." And I go, "Oh man, we're toast."
Yeah, that's bad.
So, no, I love Mike, and obviously, I wish him nothing but the best. But yeah, so I've just been doing nothing basically. Come to find out, I wish there were 16 hours in a day, not 24. It's like I'm trying to kill a day, and it's like it's harder to kill a day than I thought. I thought it'd be really great just sitting around doing nothing. Apparently, I have my limits. So I'll get up in the morning, take Lou for a walk, and we'll go walk, anywhere between 2-5 miles, and then come home, sit around, and then usually I'll cook a couple times a week, maybe 3 times a week, and get that started. And then I'm like, okay, now what do I do? Okay, we still got like an hour until the 4 o'clock game starts.
Right.
And it's a crappy ass Wizards game, so I don't want to watch that. I mean, who wants to watch a damn Wizards game? So until the good games start, maybe it'll be 5 o'clock. That's it. That's been my days. I went and visited my mom in Vegas. People saw the post we put up when I was at Bingo.
Bingo looks sweet.
My mom loves to play Bingo. And usually her and Haley play. So I played the first day and the last day because I just can't. Because I don't play. They play the paper. They got the paper bingo, too. So they got the dauber and everything, and they're, you know, daubing it up.
What do you even win? Like, when you win, like, what's at stake for bingo? I've never even played. Like,
well, so it depends. You have, like, three different cards. You have a green card, a red card, and a blue card. And you got, like, I don't know how many cards I ended up having. But it's all on a little touch screen. Yeah. And the green cards are worth more than the red, card? Than the blue. Well, it'll show you. The free square is green or red or blue.
Yeah.
So I just sit there and watch it. Like, I'm doing nothing. I'm just sitting there waiting for the screen to go bling, because then I know I'm cased.
Right.
And then it'll tell you if you won. So then you
Have to do? Just drink? And was Bud Light the best thing they had?
That was the best they had. It was either that or Michelob Ultra, is hard water. It's not even beer. And my mom loves Michelob Ultra. I was like, well, just call it what it is, hard water. And it's like, it's alcoholic. It's like water with alcohol in it, basically.
Right.
But I had no choices at that point. So I had one Bud Light to last me an hour. I could have walked around the casino and see if maybe they had a craft beer. But let's be real, it's a place called Arizona Charlie. So I don't think they're dipping their toes into craft beer per se. So yeah, no, it was more about just spending time with Haley and my mom. And just hanging out with them, because it is, whew, man. Like, I think the median age in there is dead, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I could have been, well, Haley was definitely the youngest person in there, but I might have been the next youngest person in there. So, but yeah, I mean, look, it's like fishing. If you go, I'm not a huge fisherman, but if you're catching, then it's going to be fun.
Right.
Who doesn't like going fishing when you're catching?
If you win bingo, what is it, $50? I mean, like, is there action? What do you got?
The last session we played, I hit two. One for 50, one for 150. Mm. Haley hit one for 125, and then she might have hit three. One for 80, one for 20. So we ended up covering our cost. We ended up doubling what we paid. So everybody broke even. Well, except for me, because I paid for everybody, and then I paid them out one-third each. I'm like, wait a minute, that didn't work out all that well for me. I go, well, everybody's getting a rebate, and I'm getting jack crap. I go, I'm the only one that ends up losing here. So, but no, we had a good time. It was fun. Her and Haley played like 3 or 4 days, and I played with them twice. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good time. I just thought it was funny, just the juxtaposition between bingo and what I was doing when I was 21, 22. I mean, we used to go to a big... We used to go to Lou. It's the first time, okay? We're not going to go through this every single time I'm doing a show with you. She's like, oh, yeah, you are, actually.
You I missed you. We're going to do this. I'm going to jump on you.
Everyone's going to get to know Lou.
Yeah.
But so when I was 18, we used to go to Vegas 3 years before we were legal, and we'd go on these tennis trips. It was a shuttle bus that left LA, and we'd take our rackets with us just so they thought we were playing tennis, but we never played tennis. And we brought $40. $40 had to last you the weekend. And we all split a room. So it was like $19 in Stardust. Five dudes were sleeping in one room. Two got beds, three on the floor. Or if you wanted to share a bed, you could share a bed. And I was like, okay, look, I'm not taking the floor. I go, I'm getting a bed. I'll pay the $12. Everybody else can split the $7. So that's Lou, of course. Lou, you're going to have to go out, okay? See, there she is. So, and then early on in my career.
Wait a minute, I was getting attention from you all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want this.
I know.
I'm a dad.
And then, you know, you go through the days when you know, before I was in the NBA, you didn't have enough money, but you had some money.
Yeah.
And the only machine that paid was ATM at 1201. You're waiting there at 1201 to be able to stick your card in again to get some money. And then you also go through days where you're like, God, I've run out of money. I don't have much to spend. What should I do? So you go to the bar. You give the bartender 20, right? Or you put 20 in the machine and you get a free beer.
Yeah.
So what I'd do is I'd put 20 in the machine. He'd give me the free beer. I'd cash out, get the 20 back, and then walk around the casino drinking my beer and then go to a different bartender, put $20 in, he'd give me beer. So, you know, I was just killing time at that point, drinking as many beers as I could. But to all that, running around, staying up for like 2 days in a row, gambling and doing all kinds of fun stuff with my buddies, to playing bingo. Like that's what it's come to.
Bro, it is. It's totally true. And by the way, in Vegas, you used to be able to like you didn't spend any money on drinking. You were just, you know, they knew you were going to lose money. Now it's like 20 bucks. Yep. That's a per beer. Like, it's unbelievable.
No doubt.
Okay. So what are you going to be doing? Like, how often are you doing it? What are you going to be doing? I know I've talked to you
about this. Hold on a second.
This is what's so great about this format. You can do it like dog barking, whatever, say what you want. I mean, it's great. So hang on a second. Tolbert's going to join us again in a moment.
So okay. I gave her a chance. Like, I was trying to be nice, and I was like, okay, I'll give you a chance. But she just – well, the problem is I'm not the only one in the room, and now she's like, oh, somebody else can play with me.
Right.
Here's my toy. Play with me. Oh, you're not going to play with me? I'll bark then. Exactly. How about that? So, look, people that watch the show, they're going to get to know Lou.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get to know Kit. They're going to get to know Pip. They may even see the bunny. Bunny may make an appearance. So who knows? Oh, yeah. I would say the turtle make an appearance, but the turtle died like a month ago. So RIP, Tiny. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think turtles are supposed to sink to the bottom and stay there for 2 days, which basically is what happened. Wow. So that's how I found Tiny dead. Haley's like, is he supposed to be at the bottom of the tank?
Yeah.
Like,
I think so.
All the time. I go, yeah, I don't think so. And then I walked in on Cute. Cute was the hamster. And Cute was like, I mean, Cute was like stiffer than a 20-year-old on Viagra. I mean, this guy was like just a board. He was straight bored. I was like, oh, damn, Cute. Sorry about that. And Cute was there. But Cute was two. Cute lived a full hamster life.
That's good. Yeah. That's 2 years is really long. Because all they tried to do the whole time
and everything. You know,
yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, we had the farm over here. We still kind of got the farm, the dog, the cats, and the bunny. So, but they all get along. They all go out in the backyard together and just kind of like do their thing. So, yeah, no animal fiascos.
Here's what you're going to dig about this whole thing, by the way. I want to ask you what you're going to be doing and when you're going to be doing it and all this kind of thing. Here's what you're going to totally dig, and this is really good for you. No breaks, no producers yelling at you to break. If you're in the middle of like a thought, you don't have to break. None of that kind of stuff. You can do what you want, say what you want. Like, you're, for people who don't know, infamous David Duke jokes. Like, you tell those endlessly. No one's going to cancel you. There's no one to cancel you. Like, so it's going to be full on Tolbert, because what's great is I'll be in the middle of something and I'll think to myself, God, I didn't even realize, but I just did like 20 minutes and it was great because I had one thought in my mind and never had to stop. And then every once in a while, I'd think to myself, God, what will the Giants say if I say this? What will the Niners say if I say this? What will the Warriors say if I say this? Like, you can just say and do whatever you want, because it's, and you can break when you want. And it's kind of, it's just really refreshing, and you get like feedback right away, and you don't have to spend, like, you'll dig this, and you'll be awesome. Well, first of all, you'll be awesome at it just because you're Tolbert, and you'll be awesome at it. But it's just this whole thing of just being able to just kind of do top of mind, you know, flow of your mind kind of thing is like right up your alley.
Yeah. So, and I can bring back my Stropon joke too, to a whole new audience.
So bad.
I can't believe you guys are that
Pedro Stropon.
You could not,
back in the day,
you guys could not come around to that as a funny joke.
Well, you would never even let it go either. Like,
no, of course. Well, it's funnier to me because it wasn't funny to you guys.
Just
because
you kept bringing it up.
It became funny to me to keep saying it. Then it just became a bit unto itself,
right,
where you,
absolutely,
Tim Webb, Brian Smith did not think it was funny. And I kept telling you guys that it's a funny joke, not just because of the name, but the juxtaposition of the name. And it was supposed to be Kids Weekend. That's what you guys missed. And that's where I thought my genius really shone through. Yeah,
you're,
and you guys,
you're gonna love
it.
Stropons, David Dukes, like, all you can,
yeah,
like, whatever. There's nobody for, like, we would always just like, oh no, I can't believe he said that. And then it's like,
yeah,
but it's the people you like and the people that follow you and people think it's funny. And so, like, there's no like, oh, I'm going to cancel that guy, or, you know, I mean, sometimes if you want to maintain your friendship with Steve Kerr, it might be different, but still, you can say, do whatever.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, people always like, that would always make Tim nervous, right? When I'd say, like a Utah Jazz, the crowd at a Utah Jazz game was whiter than a David Duke cocktail party. He'd go, you just said that.
He'd be near the dump button too. Like,
he'd have his hand like hovering over the dump button. Like, oh, I better get that. I was like, lighten up, Francis. Give me a break.
Well, okay? it might be like when you guys first, like when you and Ralph first started, and it was just like, you could say stuff and do stuff. Like, I've been doing this as long as you, just all over the country, and you could do stuff but nowadays, like, oh, you can't do that anymore. Like, I used to reminisce on bits I used to be able to do and things we used to be able to do. Like, we had a thing during football season one year where if a guy would lose a bet, he'd have to come in. Like, a guy got a tattoo, a guy got hit with a stun gun from a cop that we brought in. We had a guy, a naked guy. He had some sort of a, you know, banana hammock on, but then he ran and we shot paintballs at him. Like, and nowadays, like, radio stations would be like, oh my God, we're going to get sued. We got this guy with pepper spray and we sprayed him. He lost a game and we sprayed him and he had to wait till the pepper spray ran into his eyes and he freaked out and he started screaming on the air, I'm blind. And our attorneys ran downstairs and goes, finally goes, what are you guys doing? The guy was going to sue us. And we were like, oh no, it's just a radio bit. Like, you can't do that anymore. But like now you just pretty much do whatever you want. It's great.
That's good. I like that. that suits me just fine.
I mean, you're not going to shoot a guy with pepper spray in the eye, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you can
no
back no, being told I, or being told I wouldn't like, think whatever so. You want.
I don't even know where you get pepper spray.
We had a friend of the show that was a cop. And so anytime we would
have a friend of the show that happened to have pepper spray.
Like, and so that. we'd be like, okay, we're going to do a bet this week. What can we do? And our cop friend would text us during the show and go, I could hit somebody with pepper spray in the forehead and then it would roll into their eyes and they would freak out. And we're like, that sounds cool. Or like we had a guy, it was wasn't a stun gun. What were those other things that the police shoot at you?
Oh, I know lost what you're talking bet. About. Yeah.
One of those things, I lost a bet and they
taser,
a taser. And taser. What they did was they put, they clamped two of these things to my nipples. And they shot the taser at me and it made me fall down. They put a helmet on my head because they go, you're going to fall down right away. And it was like a concrete floor in the radio station. I go, I'm not going to fall. All of a sudden they went, and I went to the floor and I hit my head and I had a helmet on. It's like, you could do stuff like that back in the day. A guy got a tattoo. We shaved a guy's eyebrows, the paintball thing. After we probably did, I don't know, 8 or 10 weeks of that college football season. They go, that's enough. Like, our attorneys just literally just goes, that bit's over. Like, we're going to get sued. So, you know, radio's not what it used to be.
Bro, I hate to break it to you, but they could have just put it anywhere in your body. They didn't actually have to, unless you wanted it on your nipples.
Well, they, I guess,
which,
they
I mean, said, I always thought you, I always thought you were a little weird anyway. So maybe you
I
said,
want it on the nipples.
Come on, put it on my nipples, baby. Put it there. No, just your arms. We can do it on your arms.
Yeah, I don't know really why they like did the nipples now that I think
really
about
prefer
it.
Prefer the nipples. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I did ask for the nipples.
Bring an ice cube in here so you can get a good clamp. That's maybe what I'm looking for.
So like, so what are you going to be like, when are you on, what are you doing, when are you debuting, what's happening?
I think it's going to be this Monday. So it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
And then, like you, we'll be on YouTube.
Nice.
And then I think, you'll be able to find some of the stuff. I think we got, we'll put it on my Twitter account, Instagram, TikTok, all those outlets. So, and then just kind of go. I mean, look, I think we all started this thing because we wanted to have fun. And I got a chance to work with Daniel Ogden, who's going to be working with me, kind of doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And then his friend Max, who I just met, super cool guy. And we just want to have fun. We just want to put out a show that's going to have fun. And I've always thought, you know what, if I can make my friends laugh, and that's how I always pictured the show. Make my friends laugh, talk about stuff that people want to talk about, and maybe even stuff they don't want to talk about that maybe I'll get them interested in talking about. But and just laugh and talk sports. And that's what we'll do. And we're not beholden to any one team. We'll focus primarily on the big sports. But if there's something going on, like tonight, if I was on tomorrow, I'd be talking USA Canada. I mean, that thing was incredible last week, just incredible. And I mean, it blew the All-Star game away, but look, just the way it was set up, it was going to be better than the All-Star game. It just that you can't make the All-Star game like that. I kept reminding people, remember the NHL actually had an All-Star game too, right? And it sucked. Okay. They had to go to 3-on-3 and do all kinds of stuff because you just can't replicate in-season intensity. No one's going to go play hockey in the middle of a season 5-on-5 and checking the crap out of everybody and hurting somebody so they can't play for 2 weeks or the rest of the season. So they had an All-Star game. Didn't work. Now they're doing the Four Nations best on best, and it's incredible. Basketball can't do that. There's not enough nations to compete in the NBA. So I'd be talking about that. sure, I'll talk about the Warriors and the Giants and the Niners, local teams, but only if it's if they're worth it. Like I'm not, I don't feel like, hey, this team's horrible. I feel like I need to devote an hour to them, and that's what I got a little bored of in the last probably year or so of doing the radio, was that I felt like it was so hyper local that we had to talk about the teams.
We had three topics. I couldn't it was like Niners, Warriors, Giants, Niners.
Yeah, and I got bored of it.
I agree with you.
Well, how many times can I say the same thing? Like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over. And they're like, well, that's what we need to talk about to get the ratings, which we didn't get, we got. We sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. And I was like, no, the whole gist of this is to make people have fun, to get them to laugh, to get them to be entertained. Like I always told people, and I think this is something Ralph and I figured out, was we're not in the sports talk business. We're in the entertainment business. Right. We're entertaining people. That's what you want to do. And that's what I'm hoping I can do with the guests we're going to have on. I'm hoping to have a lot of the same guests that I had on throughout the course of my years at KNBR. Maybe once a week we'll try to do an interview, but we're not going to stick to that. It's just kind of like, if we got somebody to come on the show on a Wednesday, cool. If we got them to come on the show on a Friday, cool. If we got two in a week, cool. If we have none in a week, cool. Like it just, there's no constraints here. Like we just, whatever feels right, whatever we want to talk about, we're going to get to. And I'll know. I mean, Daniel's been around me for a lot of years and he knows what works and what's funny, what's not funny. And like, if he says it's not funny, then I'll just argue with him and say, it is funny. Shut up. Like I'm going to talk to him anyway. This is going to be really funny. Check it out. Yeah. And look, if you tried, I try to be funny. I like being funny. I like making people laugh. You're going to miss. Of course you're going to miss occasionally. Like you can't be 100% with comedy. It doesn't work that way. But I just want people to either sit down and watch us. We're not sure exactly what time the shows will be on. Maybe early afternoon. Mondays could be a little later, could be a little earlier. I don't know yet.
Yeah. This is
kind of a living thing, and it'll evolve into something that, we'll have a pretty good idea of what it's going to be at some point. But I'm not going to promise anybody what that point may be. Yeah. I just want to let it happen. Just organically let it happen and see where it goes. And again, I don't want to put any limits on the show. Like the goal is kind of an hour 15, but it could go shorter, could go longer. Like I may have like three things I want to talk about and that's it. I don't have that much to say about it. I don't feel like I need to fill time for an extra 15 minutes. Like I feel like at that point I'll be wasting people's time. Like, okay, I need to get to an hour and 15. Let me kind of regurgitate what I said in the first 15 minutes. I don't need to do that. If it's like a tight 45 and I feel like good, and that's like I got nothing else to say today. Boom, we're done. But if I have like six or seven things that I really want to get into, who knows? Could be 2 hours, hour and 45. It's just like, it'll be a feel thing. So I'm looking forward to it. This is something that I wouldn't have done had, I not been shown the door at KNBR. Because I probably would have stuck there because I like the people that I work with. I love working with Copes and Tim and Derek. They're just really cool guys, fun to work with, fun to be around. And that's probably part of the job that I'll remember the most is the people, you and B. Smith and Jen, and then all my co-hosts that I worked with, Bernsey, Ratto, Ray Woodson. I know I'm missing some people there, but, and obviously Ralph, who, I love work with him, but the people that I work with. Hell, Tony Ryan, who's doing a show with, Paulie Mack now, he ran the board, for Ralph and I early on. And so, Larry and Rod, obviously, who I worked with a couple years ago. So, I mean, it's all the people you get a chance to hang out with and talk with, that's what I'll miss. Well, I miss all the crap about, okay, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to have. This is how we want to structure.
This is what you can talk about. Yeah. Well, I'm not
going to miss that at all.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what's cool about it. Having done it, I've only done it about 3 months, but it's like learning a new language. It's the same thing in that you're trying to deliver like you've always tried to deliver, but the platform makes it so different because like you said, some days I might go 2 hours. Some days I might go a half hour. because I want to make sure that it's great content all the time. Whereas when you and I were doing it, it's like, we got to do 4 hours. So we're doing 2 2-hour shows, or our program director would say, hey, no Drew Remenda at 5 o'clock because people don't want to hear hockey, or whatever the case may be. You do what's great. And then here's the other part of it. What's that?
I said F them. Drew will be on.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That I can guarantee you.
What's great about it is,
people want to hear hockey or not, they're going to hear it.
But it's like, eat your vegetables.
Eat your fucking vegetables, okay? You're going to learn about hockey a little bit, whether you want to or not.
Right.
Okay. I don't care. I don't care if it's your version of broccoli. You're eating it, okay? It's good for you.
I'm going to put it down your throat. But what's great about it is, let's say you do a half hour, it lives forever. So, in other words, it doesn't have.
That's good.
Well, it is and it's bad, because if you say stupid stuff, then people will always go back to it and they can steal it off your whatever. But if you do a half hour, all of a sudden, you know, you'll leave an X amount of people watch, and then you left and all these other people watched. And so it's a totally different form. So you only do as long as what you want. You only talk about the things you want. And here's the greatness of you. You're such a good storyteller and you have a million stories that it used to be that a producer in our ear, no matter who it was, you'd be going off on these tangents. And the things that people love about these shows is you tell all these stories, and people, you get them behind the scenes, especially you, and you tell these great stories. And then a producer would be like, Tom, it's time to break. Tom, break, 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 Tom, break, 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 breakity, break, 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 break. Like you can just do what you want. And if you're done with the story, then the show's over. It lives forever. You only talk about what you want. And that's what I mean is I never do a B story, only because it's like, well, I don't care. Like, I'm not beholden to the Giants. I'm not the flagship. I'm not into anybody. So you're able to just, and you may do a whole show. You being you, you may not talk about one thing about sports, and it'll be the most entertaining hour or whatever that anybody spent. And you might have told one story. And it's just, you can do whatever you want. And so for you, and I don't know if you feel the same way I do, which is, it sucked those days afterwards when I thought to myself, what am I going to do here? And then having done this, it's like, God, it's so liberating to be able to do what you want, say what you want, go as long as you want, not break for a commercial, not get pulled into some, you know, jackass meeting about, you know, hey, the consultant is in town and the consultant says this. And it's like, whatever. So it's just a total. And then as far as when you're doing it, it doesn't matter, because what I do it in the morning, which is probably stupid, but people just consume it when they want to consume it. That like later on they'll consume it. It doesn't necessarily have to be live unless they want to chat with you, whatever, but you can, they're watching it whenever they're watching it. So it's pretty cool that way.
Yeah. If I do a show in the morning, you should probably make sure I haven't been kidnapped and it's a ransom.
Remember when you had to do with the Murph and Mac during the playoffs? What was it? The Tolbert Minute or whatever.
I had to do that, but I also did their whole show one time because they were traveling to the Super Bowl Hammer asked me. And I said, well, I want 2 vacation days for it. And he goes, I'll give you 1. I go, nope, 2. 2 vacation days. So I did it. And I was like, good God, it's early. Like, I'm driving to work. It's dark outside. There's nobody out there. It was like, I should ask for 4 vacation days. Like, I'm not doing this again. Like, I always knew. They never asked me because people go, oh, that'd be great if you could do the mornings or it'd be fun. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing mornings. I don't want to do mornings. Even Lori is like, you should do mornings. That way you can be home by 11. I'm like, no, not happening.
Dude, it's
that way I got to go to bed at 10. I don't go to bed at 10. I stay up. Last night I was up till 1:30. Like, I'm between 12 and 1 guy. Yeah. Like, usually between 12:30 and 1. Mostly between 12:40 and 12:45. Right in that window, like 12:43, 12:42. In fact, I have a little alarm. I don't know why it goes off. You know how these phones like figure out when you go to bed and say, hey, it's bedtime. It's like, shut up. I'll tell you when it's bedtime, Steve Jobs. You're not going to tell me when it's bedtime.
Holbert, this is the optimal amount of
recommended bedtime. But 12:45 is usually about the time. But you know, if I'm watching a game or something like that, or like last night, I got caught up in watching something that I've already watched before, which was the 30 for 30 Lakers and Celtics. I mean, love it so much. And I was watching it again. I'm like, why am I staying up so late? I've already seen this. I know how it's going to end. I lived it. I went through it. I watched all this. But it's like, it was so well done that I just continued to watch it. So anyway, mornings were never, ever, ever going to cut it for me.
Dude, I did mornings for years in Detroit. And you have to psych yourself up. Like, when your alarm goes off at 3:30, you can't hit snooze. You have to say, this is going to be the greatest day of my life. Like, you have to fool your body, and your body is exhausted all the time. And it's just not worth it because it probably cut 10 years off my life. Now, those are the adult diaper wearing years anyway, which you could probably nail my coffin shut at that point. But still, it's like, you know, you feel like
a lot of advancement in the adult diaper industry, though. So,
okay. So let me ask
you. Cashmere diapers, I've heard, are coming pretty soon.
Dude, you can nail my coffin shut at that point. Like, if I need someone to help me go to the bathroom, help me consume food, my doc tells me I can't drink anymore. It's like, what's the point of this? Like, put me in. Like, I'm good. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to go. I mean, look, even if they had cashmere diapers, you wouldn't want to wear those anyway. You don't want anything that like just rubs up against your balls just a little bit. You're like, oh, that's inappropriate.
See, this is what's going to happen.
What are you doing? You're at the wedding.
What are you doing?
Let's go. Stop saluting.
Oh, my God.
Get to what you want to ask.
Sorry, you just got me on a tangent.
Yes.
But as far as guests go, I'm so bummed that Walton's gone. Because could you imagine your show if Walton was on, where basically you could go, hey, Bill, and then you could leave the screen. And Walton could go for maybe 2 hours, and then you could like come back and like, because there, remember, I imagine I only had Walton a couple of times when you and I were doing the show, but it was like constantly like B. Smith going, dude, we got a break. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't even break in here. Like, it's
you don't
amazing.
Break when Walton's on.
No,
you know, but I wouldn't leave anyway because I love, I miss him. I miss him, and I miss fire on the mountain.
Tom, are you still there, Tom?
Tom, are you there? Hello,
so
Tom,
bro.
Oh,
anyway, all right. Let me ask you just a couple of things, because one thing is I'm just like blown away by.
Yeah.
So, as a former player, so I watch. I know you're gonna make fun of me for this, but maybe you won't, because you're the one who taught me that like just bet on anything. It's just about value. It's not about the game. So
yeah.
I might have thrown a couple of bucks on Charlotte and the Lakers last night.
Okay.
So I flip it on. And first of all, LeBron's doing the pregame and he's dancing around. He's dancing and dancing. I'm like, oh man, that foot must feel better. And then during the game, I have this clip for him, and show you this clip. You've probably already seen this, but just to let people to know, there's LeBron. Oh, wait a minute. There's the beginning of it. See, this is what's going to happen to you.
He hasn't been very good.
Go.
LeBron!
Oh!
LeBron! Look out! Look out below!
That was nice.
Yeah, look out below.
That was nice.
So it was really nice, but it's when it went Thursday. So he did that on Wednesday night. So the game, the All-Star game, where if I'm an advertiser, I want the finals, I want the playoffs, I got the All-Star game. Those are the three big things. I don't care about Denver and Indiana on a Tuesday night. Like when you sold me this package, you said, oh, All-Star game is going to be awesome. This and that, we're making these changes. So I'm Budweiser or Coca-Cola, whatever. Okay, fine. And then an hour and a half before the game, LeBron says my foot hurts and doesn't play. And then they take a picture, and he can't be even bothered to get in his uniform. He's like in jeans and a backwards hat. And he tells us that an hour and a half before the game starts. But then 3 days later, in a non-televised game against Charlotte, who cares? He's running around, jumping around, dancing around, and dunking with, you know, just a fervor unseen by mankind, Jim Harbaugh. So, like, what the hell, bro? Because you just mentioned hockey. Like, you can't make guys care. I understand that. But if the supposed best player of the game says, I don't care about the game, don't care to play, guys don't want to dunk, guys don't want to shoot threes, guys don't, like, the reason hockey's working right now is because the guys actually care, and you can't make guys care. I understand that. Steph tried. But, like, LeBron James is just openly saying, F the All-Star game, I don't care. Like, isn't that a problem? I mean, wouldn't that be a problem for advertisers, TV, all that kind of stuff, when 3 days later in a non-televised game against Charlotte, he's playing like that, even though 3 days before he said an hour and a half before the game, my foot hurts? Like, that's a problem. Is it not?
Look, if any advertiser said, hey, I'm a part of the All-Star game, this is going to be great, they've been blind for about 10 years.
It hasn't been great for 10 years, but at least they're probably sold, like, hey, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this. Like, isn't there a responsibility for this dude as – dude, just jog up and down the floor for 5 minutes. We're not even asking for effort.
Well,
Can you just fake it a little bit?
It's not on LeBron. It's on all of them. It's on all of them because they're making obscene amounts of money. Obscene amounts of money. And they deserve it, right? That's what the television contracts are. That's what the salary cap is. And that's what the best players get. You know, they're getting upwards of $70 million now. I mean, that's an ungodly sum of money. You would think, okay, this is a marquee weekend. We owe the NBA at least a little bit of effort during the game to make it something that people want to watch. like the stars could occasionally show up for a dunk competition. The best players usually show up for the three-point shoot, or some of them anyway. I mean, Dame Lillard was there. Steph's done it. Clay's done it. I mean, you've had some of the greatest shooters of all time do it. Vince Carter was, like, I think the last, like, kind of star that did the dunk competition. I mean, Aaron Gordon was phenomenal. That Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine was one of the best dunk competitions I've ever seen. I mean, that goes back to Jordan Dominique. That was fantastic. But how many times did Jordan come in the dunk competition? At least three, I think. Dominique was there. Like, that's what they're – and that's what they try to say for, like, the MLB's All-Star game. Like, Barry Bonds couldn't take time out of his schedule to be in the Home Run Derby when it was in San Francisco. Like, that's what I think – that's where the collaboration –
But how did that happen? Because you played in the era where those guys wanted the issue to me comes back to guys are afraid to compete. Like, these guys don't want to go in the dunk contest because white men can't jump. Woody Harrelson is winning the dunk contest and they don't want to get embarrassed. Or the combine, which I know is your favorite, and I can't wait for your mock draft to come out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Guys go to the combine and they won't throw. Or, like, when did it start that dudes just didn't want to compete? Because if I saw Max, like, if I'm LeBron and I'm supposedly the shepherd of the NBA, and Max McClung or Mac McClung or G League McClung or whatever the hell is winning dunk contests, like, what the hell, bro? Like, you've got to get people in it and care about it. And is it too much to ask? I know this is crazy. It's a fan game. It's a sponsors want you to do it. Like, just effort and just go. And for the NBA and Adam Silver to say, look, man, you got to do this. You got to shoot the three contests. You got to be in the dunk. Like, unless there's an injury I don't know about, we're trying to grow the game. And Max McClung is winning dunk contests, man.
Yeah, like, but let's be honest. If LeBron played in that game or not, it's still going to suck.
It was. But isn't it the message he's sending? Like, in other words, I'm LeBron. And I ain't playing. So the rest of you, because again, I'm going to go back to your generation. If Kobe played in the All-Star game, and I'm not saying it was great back then, but I grew up like, you know, Dr. J and Bird and those kind of guys, they gave a shit. But like Kobe, it went through the locker room. You got to play hard and he would get pissed at you if you didn't. Whereas now it comes through the locker room and LeBron doesn't want to play and nobody wants to play. And so it's like that time when Marc Gasol, like, dude, why are you playing hard? Like, knock it off. Quit playing hard. Like, when did that change?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to romanticize the All-Star game and say these guys are giving playoff level intensity. They never were.
And you can't.
But it was Park League intensity. What I like to say is, like, when I played at the park when I was younger, if you won, you stayed on. You lost, you left. So you had to give a certain amount of intensity to stay on the court because you could be sitting out for the next hour not playing. That's the type of intensity I think the NBA All-Star game should have. I don't want guys to go out there and go nuts, diving into the a crowd to save a ball, trying to charge, getting underneath players. You know, I don't need that. What I do need is, you know what, if you lose, you're going to leave the court type of intensity. And I think the All-Star game used to have that. Again, I don't want to romanticize it and say it was great because it wasn't. They had moments where guys were dunking and guys were just, you know, easy dunks and no one's getting back on defense. But the problem with today's game is the three-point line is so influential in every single game that this turns into dunks or just jacking up threes. It's all they're doing is jacking up threes. So the game's been unwatchable for, I don't know, maybe a decade or so. And I everybody has an idea of what to do with it. You know, a big pot, $10 million and this. I'm like, we're going to give them more money? Do I need to read what each one of these all-stars is already making? And, oh, by the way, we have to give them money to make them interested in the NBA Cup. Do you think they'd be as interested in the NBA Cup if there's no money attached to it? Like, I said the NBA Cup is just it's dumb. I always thought it was a dumb idea. I think it's a dumb idea. But – it did add a little intrigue to the part of the season where there isn't any. The players seemed to be into it, probably because of the money. The fans were into it. Eye doctors were into it because I don't know how many retinas they've had to fix watching the NBA Cup games that just sear your retinas when you're watching them on the court. I mean,
brutal.
It's crazy. So now we got to give them more money. How about just play because you're honored to be voted to the All-Star team and you're going to play against the Eastern Conference. I don't need the world versus the U.S. I don't need, you know, 6-7 and above or 6-7 and below. I just give me two teams, East and West. Instead of wearing All-Star jerseys so you can make more money, wear your home team's jerseys, which I always thought was cool, and just give us a reasonable effort, like an honest effort, and I think you'll have a fantastic game. I know you'd have a fantastic game. I've seen it before. They're fun to watch. But if you're not going to do that, do a horse competition. Get the All-Stars. Let's play horse. Do the All-Stars. Let's have a one-on-one competition.
I'd be down
because you're the only one out there. And you will get embarrassed if you're not trying.
Now, would guys play in that, though? That my problem
I don't
becomes,
know.
If it's a one-on-one tournament,
then it's like, what are you scared?
But
if
it's a one-on-one tournament and the best players play, I'm down. If it's one-on-one tournament and, I don't know, Max McClung is playing the 12th guy in the Bucks, then it's just like, then it's the same thing. All I'm asking for is effort. And I think for a game like that, and it can't be fixed, but if you effort, that's all I can ask of you. I can only ask an athlete to effort, like, and at least fake the effort where LeBron just says, look, an hour and a half before the game, I'm not playing. My foot hurts. The rest of the guys go, if LeBron's not playing. So then it sets the precedence for the future of the game itself. And I don't expect it to be anything it's not. I always tell people this, like if I walk in to a movie theater and it's an Adam Sandler movie, if what is it? Happy Gilmore 2 comes out, I'm going to hit myself over the head with a hammer and go, and go, okay, this isn't going to be Oscar winning. I know what it's going to be. And that's my expectation level. So I think of All-Star games like that. Like I don't walk in and think it's going to be, you know, an Oscar winning performance, but effort is the minimum that they can give. And they can't even seem to do that, or at least even fake that they can do that.
Yeah, no, I thought the effort from what I watched was better this weekend. Still wasn't great, but it was better. But the format was brutal. So we don't need that. Just again, effort's fine. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Real quick. Warriors. So Draymond is being Draymond. I think Draymond's going to be more Kendrick Perkins and Charles Barkley in his post career. Cause he just, everything's extreme with him. The weekend was 0 out of 10. We're going to win the championship. The NBA sucks. Like he's just like, he's extreme guy. That's for a later conversation, but he thinks, and he should think, because that's what he's playing for. He's like, we're going to win the championship. Yep. He's very effusive in his praise of Jimmy Butler. So now that they have Jimmy and we're on like a 27 game sprint, what do you think? What do you think of the Warriors now that we're set and we know who they are?
Well, I mean, they're not better than OKC. OKC is the best team in basketball, in my opinion. Of course, that's my opinion. I'm the one talking. I don't know why people need to say that. In my opinion.
Wait a minute. I thought you were someone else.
What are you taking someone else's opinion and regurgitating? No, that's my opinion. Yeah, I know you're talking. I get it. OKC,
Michael Myers' opinion.
Boston and Cleveland are the three best teams in basketball. And where do the Warriors fit in? I think the Warriors could maybe get to 6. I think it'll be tough. Here's the problem. They've beaten all the teams and have the tiebreaker against all the teams that they're not going to be tied with at the end of the year. Like they have the tiebreaker on OKC. Great. You have the tiebreaker on Memphis. Great. You have the tiebreaker on Houston. Great. Okay. Who don't we have the tiebreaker against? The Lakers.
Yeah.
Not good. You don't have it against Phoenix. Not good. You don't have it against the Clippers. Not good. I don't think they have it against the Mavericks, but they do have it against the T-Wolves. That's the one team, I think, that amongst all the teams they could end up being tied with that could come down to the last week of the season, the T-Wolves. But look, I think Jimmy makes them better, there's no doubt. They're going to miss Wiggins' defense. Wiggins was the best perimeter defender that they had on that team. He's the guy you could put up against the big wings, Kawhi when he was healthy, LeBron James, guys like that. You could put him on those players and say, okay, make life as miserable as you can for him. And he had some pretty decent success doing that because Wiggs, you know, 6'8", long, athletic, he made it difficult on those guys. So they're going to miss that. What Jimmy gives them, what Butler gives them is toughness. basketball IQ and just a know how to get it done type player. I mean, he's not a typical Warrior player. He's not a 3-point shooter. He's a slasher. He's a guy that gets to the rim.
Yeah, like
he's a physical guy. Yeah, gets to the free throw line. So he gives them something they didn't have. So where the rest of the team is trying to space everybody out, he's finding those lanes and finding those cutting lanes to get to the basket, draw some contact, and he's had success in the playoffs. I mean, he's a winner, and he's a competitor, and I think that'll show in the playoffs. Where would I put them? Like, I'd give them better odds. Like, I checked the odds a couple days ago.
What? They were, you? Check the odds?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking, huh? They were 42-1 to win the championship.
Damn. See, I'd put money on that just for the hell of it. That,
yeah,
like,
I think 42-1.
You taught me value. That's value. There's value.
Yeah, that
there.
seems a little high.
You didn't throw any money
but
on
I
that?
I couldn't put them any higher than 25. Like, 25 sounds about,
yeah,
about right. And to put it in context, OKC is like plus 250. Boston's plus 200. The yeah. Cavaliers are plus 800. They're like 8-1, something like that. And then it goes down from there. But, yeah, I mean, they still got a lot, you know. There's some holes on that team, obviously, right? And will they be better next year with another year of Jimmy? Yes, but Jimmy gets another year older. Yeah. Draymond gets another right. year older. Steph gets another year older. So I think they felt like they had to do something. Like, they didn't just want to stay pat and see what happened. Now, hopefully, Butler, who says he's found his love of basketball once again. It's funny how $120 million works that way. Look, I'd find my love of basketball for a lot less than that, I'll tell you. There's no doubt about that. It will not take $120 million.
I'm not coming to Golden State. Yep. Extension? Woohoo! Never been happier.
Well, remember Deshaun Watson. He didn't want to go to Cleveland.
Right.
He had no interest in going to Cleveland.
$30 million?
Are you going to guarantee the whole contract? All right, I'll go to Cleveland.
Love Cleveland.
And it's worked out beautifully for both of them.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, the Browns and Deshaun Watson, that is a marriage made in hell.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier, to be honest with you. As soon as he went there, I was like, I'm going to root for them to lose every game.
Every game.
And they've obliged for the most part. But like,
let me give you a Warriors theory.
Okay.
Here's what's great about you. You're not going to be like, well, maybe you're just going to go, you're stupid. So maybe, just maybe, I'm with you. If they're in the play-in, who in the hell knows, man? Maybe Durant goes for 50 on that night and you're screwed. So I hate the play-in, but if they could somehow get to six, just for the sake of conversation that they're older, okay, they're six and they're taking on three, which might be a young Houston or a young Memphis or something like that. Conceivably, they win game one and all of a sudden Houston's freaking out, right? Oh, my God, and they panic and they win. Now, I don't know if they could do that again and again and again. But like, OKC's young, Houston's young, Memphis is young. Mm-hmm. Is there anything to, well, I don't think they can sustain this over a number of playoff series. That's the problem. But could they win a series like that just based on the fact that those three guys are so good and they're veterans and these teams are young? And even though they're really good regular season teams, they haven't won anything in the playoffs. So all of a sudden the Warriors get up on them a game and they panic. Would there be anything to that theory or no?
No, I mean, look, they could absolutely win a series. I mean, you got one of the greatest players of all time. You got another Hall of Famer in Draymond Green. You probably, I'd have to look at his career a little more closely to see if Jimmy Butler's a Hall of Famer. But Steph, obviously, the given. He's one of the top, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, whatever. I mean, whatever, wherever you want to put him, I don't really care. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. And Draymond's one of the greatest defenders to ever play in the NBA, one of the smartest guys I've ever seen play. So, and they have the know-how. They don't have to wonder if they could win a championship. They know they can win a championship. They've done it four times. So when they get there, they understand what it takes. And that gives you a little bit of an edge over a team that hasn't done it. OKC, Houston, Memphis. So, and those are like, I mentioned those three teams because those are three teams that really give the Warriors problems. Young athletes.
Yep.
Young athletes, young athletic teams. I could have said it that way to begin with. But they just, it's hard for the Warriors to deal with them because the Warriors aren't super athletic, getting a little older, but they have the experience. They have the savvy. So, yeah. I think they could. I mean, I want to see the last 27 and see how they gel.
Yeah.
I don't know if I learned a whole lot from the initial burst. They played a horrible Chicago team that they got down 21, and it was one of the most insane comebacks. You're down 21, you win by 24, or down 24, win by 21. It's like insane. And by the way, they were down the 24 with like 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. It still came back and won by 21. So then you go to Milwaukee. You beat Milwaukee without Giannis.
Milwaukee.
And they lose to Dallas, you know, without – and that one hurt too because that was a tiebreaker one. That would have been nice to get that one without Anthony Davis. And then you go to Houston and beat them.
They're in total disarray. Like, Dallas is in total disarray. The owner's getting booed. Anthony Davis is out and you lose that game. It's like –
yeah, but that doesn't – but that doesn't affect the players. Players don't get caught up in
I guess.
Like, all that stuff's outside noise. They just play basketball.
I got to ask you this because have you seen Court of Gold yet? Court of Gold. Have you seen that
I have not seen Schmuck and a Pancake.
So that's coming up on Netflix. I got to watch that. And one of the scenes, and I played it, and then YouTube got all mad. That's the one thing about YouTube is, like, they're like, you can't play that. I'm like, I'm promoting Netflix. And they're like, sorry, you got to cut that out or we're going to put a strike against you. So I had to cut it out, and I'm not going to replay it again.
Three strikes? Do you go to jail?
I don't know. They make you cut your channel or something. So, but you might have saw it. But so Steve Kerr, after, of course, Curry makes the shot and gets them the Olympic gold, he goes over to the bench and Kerr hugs him and drops about three MFs. Like, you're the greatest MF or MF, MF, MF. Probably goes like five MFs and a couple of Fs and a couple of Ss. Like, boom, 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 boom. Like, within it was really impressive. It was probably within like a 15 to 20 second period to tell Steph how great he was, how great he is as a human. Like, I didn't realize is Steve a big profanity guy? Like, does Steve drop a lot of F bombs? Steve a big F, you know?
Well, you got to realize.
Like, boom, 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 boom.
You got to realize he grew up in L.A., so he knows all the Tommy Lasorda stories. So we love Tommy Lasorda. We love the Tommy Lasorda rants. Yeah, I told him he's got to, like, at least one time before he retires, do a Tommy Lasorda. He's got to do a Tommy Lasorda on the mic. Like, I think it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 50 against him, but they beat the Thunder.
Right.
And so it didn't quite work out, the whole Kingman thing, when Dave Kingman hit three home runs and had seven RBIs against the Dodgers. And the reporter goes up to Tommy, goes, hey, Tommy, so what'd you think about Dave Kingman? And Tommy looks at him and he said, well, I'm assuming he looked at him. I just remember the audio.
Yeah.
He goes, well, he had three fucking home runs and seven RBIs. And somebody in the background goes, no, eight RBIs. He goes, eight RBIs. He goes, what do you want me to fucking say? He goes, that's a pretty fucking tough question to ask me, isn't it? Okay, I went out there and kicked our ass and you're asking me what I fucking think about Dave Kingman and his performance. What do you think I fucking thought about Dave fucking Kingman and his fucking performance? Like, Tommy was first ballot Hall of Fame cursor.
It was
amazing. It was a symphony of F-bombs is what it was. And it just flowed, right?
Yeah.
It was like most part of the F-bomb. It was like just beautiful the way he did it. So I told him, because he actually dropped a little bit of an ode to Lasorda when somebody asked him what he thought about. And I think it was, if it's another player, I apologize, but I think it was Shai. And he goes, what do you think about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander performance? He goes, What do you think I thought of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander performance? And it was hysterical. I told him it didn't quite work because you guys won. It goes, if you guys would have lost, and somebody could have asked you that,
you
could have said, what did he have, 52? What do you fucking think I thought of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's performance? He fucking kicked our ass. It's kind of a tough question to ask me, isn't it? And I love that. I love, too, the end of the Lasorda thing. Where it goes, and so Lasorda answers it. And he goes, all right, thank you. He goes, well, that's not – he goes, I didn't give you an answer. He goes, you give me an answer. He goes, yeah, but it wasn't a good one. He goes, fucking – I mean, Thomas sort of just –
oh, it's so good.
Just, but people that grow up in this era, they get the homogenized coaches. Oh, like, it pops as close as you'll come.
Yeah, right.
To, like, just kind of going off the rails a little bit. But even NFL coaches, you don't get NFL coaches – Like John McKay, former coach of the Trojans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw a quote from him a couple nights ago where he said, he goes, He goes, we were lousy at tackling, but we made up for it by not blocking.
Right.
Which is an incredible quote. Like no coach is killing their own team. So I texted Steve and I told him, I go, next time you guys lose, go, we really couldn't shoot the ball. We made up for it by not defending. I go, that'd be a nice ode to John McKay. So we're never going to get the coaches that stalk the sidelines in any sport now. It's too corporate. There's too many sponsors.
Right. They don't want to go viral.
You can't curse. You can't rip your own team, which I kind of agree with actually. But I mean, it was every sport back then, right? It was baseball. You had like a Hal McCray going crazy and Lasorda and Lou Piniella. Lee Elia. And then you had basketball, right? You had Nelly. I could go on and on with the bat. And then football was just insane. Oh. Like football was nuts what those guys were saying and doing when they had a mic'd up on the side. You can forget about that. Like everybody's just the culture that everyone's brought up in. You don't get that anymore. And I miss that so much. Like I'll sit around and I'm like, God, there's nothing on TV tonight. What am I going to do? I'll just go on YouTube and like look at old coaches clips or listen to old coaches clips. Like I can't get enough of listening to the Lasorda stuff, the Lee Elia stuff, where he's just like killing Cub fans. I mean, could you imagine Melvin coming out and killing Giant
basically
fans?
Basically calling them people.
Like guy like going, oh.
Jobless drunks. What, they're basically saying you're at Wrigley Field in the middle of the day, you jobless drunks. And those are your fans.
Can you imagine like 15,000 showing up to Oracle? And the Giants are losing, and Bob Melvin's like, yeah, I mean, we come out here, we're trying the best we can, and they, you know, these cocksuckers are booing us out here. We can't even get anybody to cheer us on out here, and we're playing as hard as we can. And look, everybody else in the Bay Area is working, and these cocksuckers are coming out here.
Larry Bear, be nice. Larry Bear would like turn off a power switch or something. Like, yeah. Just, it would be gone.
Why don't these guys go out and get a job? I mean, you know, we're trying our hardest, and I think we're going to turn this thing around soon. We're putting in the effort. You know, these cocksuckers coming out and they're just booing us all the time. That's not helping at all either. So I don't know what to tell you. Maybe get a job. I mean, like, and they, Lee Elia did that for like 15 minutes.
It was unbelievable.
You know who the PR guy was for the Cubs back then?
No.
Ned Coletti.
He was?
Coletti was
that.
He was in the locker room when Lee Ely was doing that.
Oh, my God. No, it was
absolutely amazing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too, is like, you know this, you played, and you played for Nelly. The closest I could get to it was when my first job in the business, I don't know why they gave this to me, but I was the locker room guy for the Utah Jazz with a live mic, and Jerry Sloan was the head coach. And so before the media would do the scrum, I got a 2 to 3 minute interview with Jerry. And so I, you know, it was this cigarette breath and stuff. And I'd, you know, I'm this, hey, Jerry, you know, and I would ask those kind of dumb questions like, well, what did you think of the game tonight or this and that? He would just glare at you and say things that like, there's no way that you could ever say. Like nowadays you pull up, you know, this, you played in this era. Like if you pulled up on the fast break, and you're Jeff Hornacek, and you shot a three, like you were coming out of the game, and Sloan would rail you like in front of everyone. And then after the game, hey Jerry, what did you think of that Hornacek three on the break with 3 minutes left in the third? And he'd be like, "What the fuck? And I'm in Utah. The fuck did you think I thought of that Hornacek three?" What? And he would just look at you, and you're like, "Oh my God, I'm in so much trouble." But he wasn't into like, "I gotta protect the players, and what are they gonna say, and what are they get, you know."
Let's be honest, had that three, he would have been okay with it.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think of another guy that Delaney Rudd. Like, I mean, just somebody that innocuous player that played for the Jazz back then, you know, it was like, what the hell? But, you know, you got honesty. I mean, you just got honesty, right? I mean, he didn't know how to do anything but honesty.
It's just more color.
Yeah.
It's just more fun. Like, everything's about efficiency now in sports, right? Yeah. I'm going to do a whole segment on that. And hopefully I'm going to talk to all our my guests about that and put a compilation together at some point. But how do we get the entertainment back in sports instead of just being efficient? I appreciate efficiency. You're trying to win, but we need to get entertainment back.
Well, I'll give you a great example.
To sports. And real quick, I got to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of cocksuckers, you've kept me here an hour.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
I can't believe
I know you suckered me in. I know.
If you wouldn't have put that stupid timestamp up in the corner, I wouldn't have even seen that.
I know you wouldn't.
I looked in the corner. I'm like, holy crap.
Okay, I got two more
things. That's like over an hour now.
Okay, I know. You got stuff to do.
You sound like a kid at a camp. I got two more.
You got two more. I know you got dogs to walk.
Give me two.
I know you got dogs to walk and nothing to do, but hang on a minute. There was two quick things.
Lou is not thrilled right now at you, by the way. Yeah.
What was the other thing? I had a great show. Oh, I know. Speaking of honesty, this is the greatness of this forum again. So as much as you want to say, you can say, you and I did the first interview ever of Kyle Shanahan when he became head coach of the 49ers. And he comes in and he's got this black hair and his skin is nice and he has no growth and he looks like he's about 25. And now he's aging worse than the president. Looks like 55. He's got gruff. And I know you're going to have Kyle on a lot because he loves doing interviews with you. He respects what you do. And it's an awesome interview when you have him. But I remember one thing. So this is right after the Atlanta Super Bowl. We're interviewing him in the children's room or whatever it was. He comes over, he sits down. And this is why guys will open up to you, because we could do the interview, blah, blah, blah. And then you said, Kyle, I got to know this. And Kyle's a terrible liar. And he's even said it. And that's when we found out. I remember it. I don't know exactly how you phrased it, but it was Devontae Freeman and he misses the block in the Super Bowl. And so you say to Kyle, hey, Kyle, if Devontae Freeman makes that block, do you guys win the Super Bowl? And he kind of looks around and he goes, okay, we off the air. And then he proceeds to tell us about the play and how bad of a missed block it was. Like, that's just, it's such cool stuff like that. I just remember doing that and it was off the air and now we're bringing it on the air, but hell, it's been 7-8 years. But I mean, I remember he opened up to you right away and was like, and that's like, Kyle would like to be old school and tell the truth, but he has to be PC, you know, and he can't say what he wants to say. Kyle would be an amazing throwback kind of a guy. Cause some of the dumb questions he gets asked, he'd be like, oh my God, I've been doing this my whole life. You don't know anything, you jackass. Stop asking me dumb questions. Like, he would be that guy. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not endorsing coaches ripping their players in public because I know you are. But I was a player. I wouldn't have liked to have been thrown under the bus. It doesn't mean I can't enjoy it when I'm listening to it. Because I mean, Lasorda usually didn't rip his players, although he would do that as well. And again, it's just a different era. But no, I remember asking Kyle that. And really the reason I asked it was because I lost money in the Super Bowl. I'm like, can we just run the ball there after Julio made that catch? What the hell? Do we have to drop back and pass? But I didn't say that. But no, here's my philosophy when I'm asking coaches questions. I want to know the thought process, not what the result is. Because to me, the thought process could be crap and the play could work. Thought process could be great and the play can't work. But fans do not realize how many times players screw things up. Like when I was playing for the Warriors, I'm not going to name the player, but he had like one or two plays in the entire playbook. Nelly called it for him coming out of a timeout. By the time we got to the court, he forgot it.
Chris Mullen.
I'm like, trust me, he had more than two plays.
I know.
I'm like, how do you forget your own play? You know, there's only a couple of them. Like,
that's
got to
be Alton Lister. That's got to be Alton Lister.
You're going to draw a play for you, and how'd you miss that? Like, that's a chance for you to get your hands on the ball. But look, it happens all the time. Yeah. I talk to a lot of coaches, and they're like, yeah. He goes, we had this drawn up, and this was it, and then he forgot it. He just forgot the play. Or he'll just go somewhere, like, he'll get in the way of the play. Like, you'll, like, actively sabotage the play without knowing you're sabotaging the play. Like, bro, you're supposed to be on the other side of the court. What are you doing over here? We used to have I love Chris Gatling. He was a teammate of mine. And he'd forget the plays all the time. And I always knew when he forgot the plays because he'd just go run instead of pick and roll for Timmy. I was like, bro, that's not the play. What are you doing? You can't just run instead of pick and roll. We got action moving over here, and you're setting a pick and roll. You're setting a pick and roll over there. Like, what are we doing? And like, that's why it kills me, because these fans kill the coaches.
Right.
Oh, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Like, I don't know how we've gone from fandom, like getting on players, to like revering the players so much that it's all the coaches' fault. And I the players bear most of the responsibility in this. You're the ones on the court. You're the ones that can do something about it. You're the ones that have the ball in your hands or can stop the ball from going in the bucket. And like I, that's why, and people get on me for like, oh, how come you don't rip this coach? I'm like, because I don't think the coach is responsible for a lot. I'll rip the players more than I'll rip the coaches, because I was a player. And I understand that, like, if the players do what they're asked to do and even can think on their feet a little bit, you can get the job done, right? Unless the talent mismatch is there. So, I know what a player is supposed to do. And when I see a player not doing it, I'm like, well, the play can't work now. And then the fans are like, well, that this coach sucks. What's this coach? Why did he draw that play? He didn't draw that play,
right?
You dumbass. He drew a different play, but the play you saw wasn't supposed to be run because player X was where player Y was supposed to be because he short-circuited in 10 seconds. He literally was told 10 seconds ago, this is the play, and you can't remember it. Now, look, I'm not saying that happens all the time.
But it happens a lot in football, though. It happens in football,
but it does happen. And it will happen in situations where fans are like, oh, what are you drawing up? What is that crap? Well, no, that's not what he was drawing up. In fact, they went out there and did the opposite of what he was drawing up. So anyway, it's a lot more intricate. But to get back to, like, when I talk to coaches, I just want to know their thought process. Like, so I feel like I can ask Kyle, like, if they missed a 3rd and 8 and something happened and he ran the ball, or maybe they should have done this. I was like, okay, what was the thought process going to this? Why did you go for it on 4th down? Like, I still disagree with him, and I've told him this, the Super Bowl, how, you know, they take the ball first in overtime.
I'm like,
I don't care. I always take the ball second because I know what I have to do.
Well, I'm in the inning. You got to do that.
And he told me, and look, it makes sense that he said, look, we just, the defense came off like a 10-play drive or whatever it was. And I get that the defense is tired, but they had time to rest in between the little intermission between the end of the game and overtime. And there was a timeout. Somebody got hurt as well in late fourth quarter. Right. So they had time to rest. But then the analytics also said that when you, in this format, more times than not, it's going to be tied after the first two overtimes, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, something like that. So that's where the analytics come into play. And that's something I'll get into too throughout the course of my show, analytics and all the sports and what people like, what people don't like, what works, what doesn't work. So it gets back to the efficiency versus entertainment. But that was what analytics said, right? If you go to the 3rd down or you go to the 3rd overtime, usually it's going to be tied. And then they would have the advantage. It'd be like sudden death getting the ball first. Well, it didn't work out that way, but I appreciated the, okay, this is why. This is why I did this. I don't have to agree with it, but I can see the point. Like, there are going to be some times where if somebody told me something, like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I don't understand the logic behind this. I do understand the logic behind that. And again, I don't have to agree with everybody, and I'm not going to be, I don't yell at people. I just, that's not my style. Everybody knows that. But I just want to get behind the reasons why you're doing certain things. I think that helps people understand coaches a little bit more, like why somebody may be doing this. And I will say this, I've talked to Kyle enough. I've talked to my buddy, Steve Kerr enough. I've talked to a lot of coaches. Ultimately, they're doing what they think is in the best interest of the team to win games. They want to win games. That's what they're paid to do, to win games. It may not be right. It could be something you disagree with, but they're not doing it because, oh, I don't like this player, or I want to teach this guy a lesson, or I want to do this. These guys run multi-billion-dollar corporations now. This isn't the mom-pa shop that I played for back, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, sports are a multi-billion-dollar business, and these guys are the CEOs of the team. Winning is the thing for them, period. That's it. So that's, you know, when I talk to those type of coaches, I just want to get to the, why do you do certain things? What's the thought process behind this? What's the logic behind this? And then the fans can agree or disagree. They can agree with the logic, disagree with the logic, but don't get caught up in the result. Too many fans get caught up in the result, because I know the result's a thing that matters, but there's a lot of things that go into that result, and there could be a lot of bad decisions that turn out good, a lot of good decisions that turn out bad for a variety of different reasons, and you got to ferret through that, and then you can make up your own mind.
All right, don't look at the corner. 30 quick seconds. Just
I'm looking at the corner. You're killing me.
Lou's like this
mother.
No, this is a great story. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but it rhymes with Schnappa. So when Schnappa, whoever that is, asked
Peppermint Schnapa?
So we had Joe Staley on one time, and there was a field goal that was blocked that cost the Niners a game. And he talked to him like, you know, I knew what happened and I knew who screwed up and everything like that. Then I went down to 49ers HQ because you're saying it's on the players. And nowadays they can't call anybody out. So I go down into the locker room the next time I'm there, and Staley, who I always had a good relationship, grabs me and he says, you tell Schnapa that here's what happened on that play. Cause he was blaming Joe, and Joe's like, No, it was this guy was supposed to crash in and he was supposed to go. So like you said, especially when it comes to football, there's 11 guys who are supposed to be in concert on a certain play and do the right thing. And if one guy is wrong, and by the way, here's Brock, a 300-pound man is trying to crush his face within 2 seconds. He's got to read what four or five other guys are going to do. Okay, he's playing outside leverage. He better cut inside. I'm going to throw that ball inside. Uh-oh, it got intercepted because he read outside. Like, all these different things have to be going on right at the same time, and people will rip the player. But I just remember Joe grabbing me, like literally grabbing me going, you tell him that this is what happened. I was not at fault, but I can't call a guy out. And like his eyes are bulging out at me, and I'm like, I'm going to die. But so just to your point of like, we don't know what's going on. Only they know what's going on, and they can't call anybody out anymore. They got to just eat it. They got to take it. So
no, right. I agree. All right, and I'll leave you with this too. I know you like the movie Rounders.
Yeah,
as I do. And we'll probably talk about this at some point during, I don't know, one of the weeks of doing the shows, but in terms of Brock Purdy,
yeah.
If I can quote the great Teddy KGB, pay that man his money.
He's been paid. Real fast. Look at this on the screen right there. Because you were a star player at Arizona. I wonder if this happened to you. Things have kind of changed. So you know, Carson Beck obviously is being paid $4 million to play at Miami now.
Yeah.
And the Cavender sisters, they've made a bunch of money through the NIL. So that's his girlfriend. So Hannah Cavender had her SUV stolen. And then get this, though. Carson Beck, quarterback at Miami, college student, had his Mercedes and Lamborghini. They remain missing. Carson Beck has a Mercedes and a Lamborghini and lives in a condo overseeing the water in Miami. And his Mercedes and Lamborghini were stolen. Isn't that kind of like what it was like at Arizona, your Lamborghini and your Mercedes that you and Steve Kerr had and the waterfront?
Bro, you know there's this thing called NIL, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's okay, crazy.
It's been about four or five years now. Okay,
but a Lamborghini.
What, are you still living in the 90s?
My God, that's crazy. Jeez,
of course I had a Lamborghini to Arizona. What, are you crazy?
You drove that jalopy back and forth from L.A. and it died on you on the freeway. That's all I know.
I did, yeah.
You didn't have a Lamborghini. I know
R.I.P. Ford Cougar. Let's stay on the sit on the side of the freeway.
I know it's the NIL.
I found it a lot funnier than my dad did, I got to be honest. Dad was – he was not thrilled with it. He was not thrilled. What happened to your car? I left it on the side of the freeway.
What's a big deal? It's like it was a Lamborghini.
Right. Yeah, it was a Ford Cougar. It was fantastic.
All right, I got to let you go. I've kept you way too long, and I apologize. Like you used to say, okay, I know we got to go, but just one more. I know we got to go, but
no,
just
we
one
don't.
More. I know we got to go, but just one more. No, we got to go. Monday is the show, the Tom Tolbert Show. It's going to be Tolbert. It's going to be awesome, and I'm looking forward to it. YouTube and all the regular places, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. I'm not sure again, I don't know what it's going to become. So hopefully people will show up and they'll enjoy the content. We're just going to have a good time and we're going to have some beers. I'm going to have some beers. I'm not sure what they're going to have. It may be a little too early in the day. This guy is going to be my drinking buddy. I brought him out of the rafters. I think this was the idol in the Brady Bunch that they lost at the beach.
Yeah,
remember the two-part special?
Oh, totally.
Brady Bunch two-part special? I think that's...
Bobby, you got to go bring that thing back.
That's
dude.
What they lost.
Bad karma here.
I mean, I got to clean this place up a little bit because, I mean, if people see this, they're going to go, Tolbert, what are you doing in there? What are we doing? Is this turning into an American Pie? Like,
I was just going to say, you got Kleenex in your computer room. I know what that means.
It just looks bad. It's a bad look, and it gives me the willies every time I look over at it. So, no, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk sports, and we'll do it for shorter as long as we feel like doing it. Yeah. But we are going to do it 3 days a week, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm not sure exactly what times. Again, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing thing. And we'll get there at some point.
You're the best, bro. Hey, thanks for making the time. I know that you're going to kick ass and everything's going to be great. And you got not only you, but a really good crew working. So thank you for making the time. And I apologize that it was an hour 14, 53, 54. 55.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
You don't apologize.
I'm sorry.
You don't apologize
at all. I am. But, you
that's
know.
Bullshit. I mean, you're lying. Liar.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you.
Good to see you,
John.